Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Gifts of a Second Chance podcast. I am your host, Melinda, and today I have a very special guest, Miss Calandra Joyner.
Hello.
And as I call her, Tootie, and as my grandmother called her, Trudy. Welcome, Trudy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. So, Tootie will be joining us from Austin, Texas.
Yes, ma'am.
So, how's the weather in Austin on today?
Icy, cold, and yeah, that sums it up.
I hear Texas is supposed to be, Texas and some of the other parts of the South supposed to be getting some storms.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of coming through. It's supposed to be this whole week or just part of the week?
I think the beginning part of the week, but the temperatures will stay low. So although no wintry mix, low temperatures.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a little new for Texas because Texas is known for their disrespectful heat.
Yes.
So I guess when they will get some ice, it will be disrespectful as well.
It only makes sense.
It only makes sense. So the one reason I wanted to invite Tootie is because Tootie is on a very unique journey that I am so proud to witness her on this journey. And as you can see by the smile on her face, she's just as proud to be on this journey as well. And so just to give you a little bit background of Tootie, she is the third born of my children, and she is part of a set. So she is the second born of the twins, which are 5 minutes apart. And Tootie has always been that different child. Tootie has had a unique personality opposed to her sister, Nikki. Nikki is outgoing. Nikki talks to everybody. Nikki finds friends, cousins, everybody. Nikki has no issues finding her own resources. Tootie, on the other hand, not so much. I can just give you a little brief story of Tootie in her younger days where she would complain and she would say, things like, "Mama, she don't even know them people, and she just all up in their face talking to them." And I'm like, oh my goodness. And then I can remember also how it benefited her is we was at a park and some people was playing basketball and Tootie wanted to play, and she just sitting on the sideline just watching them. And I don't even know if you said something to Nikki or Nikki just knew you wanted to play. But Nikki went over and asked the people if you could play. And they said, yeah. She came back and told you. Next thing y'all know, you go in and play. And I'm like, why wouldn't you ask? But that's Tootie for you. And that has been Tootie for a very long time in her life. So, one thing I can say about Tootie is from even young with her different personality, Tootie was smart. Tootie was very smart, easy to catch up if she fell behind. And the only reason she would fall behind is because if Tootie woke up on the wrong side of the bed, the whole day is a wash. Her attitude made it all plummet.
That's true.
Are you laughing because I'm accurate, Tootie?
That's
okay,
true.
So at least
that's
we're
true.
On the same page. So So the good thing is she had the natural ability to catch up with schoolwork, and she was just smart. I remember teachers discussing wanting to move her up, and I'm like, nope, no, leave her where she's at, because like with her attitude, absolutely not. Like, I could see that train wreck coming. So we gonna leave her where she's at and let that train roll like it's gonna roll. I remember her being in middle school. Just to give you an example, one of the teachers said, I mean, and she was just very open, and she said, if she needed a half a point, I would not give it to her because of how bad Tootie's attitude was. And lo and behold, Tootie needed half a point.
And she didn't give and it Tootie to was me.
In, and she did not give it to her. And she was in summer school for a half a point. And as a mother, I was so mad. I was so hot. But because we had moved out of the district and I was traveling back and forth, taking them to school, I paid for summer school just to keep from doing that travel. But one thing I will say is during this time in middle school, I remember when she first got in middle school, and I don't even remember how it actually happened that you found Ben. I do remember one of the teachers coming. I don't know if she came to me or how you discovered Ben. Do you remember how you discovered Ben?
I think they came to the classrooms or something and just was talking about Ben. I think that was it. But I can't remember either. I think I just put it on my schedule. I was like, I'm going to do this.
Okay. So when she was in the sixth grade, I remember the sixth grade band teacher talking to me. What was her name?
Miss Brown.
I love Miss Brown. She came to me and she said, you know, she's really good at this. And she stayed in the class and she found her tribe. Tootie found her tribe. She found a group of people that she could relate to. She found a group of people that she would actually talk to without prompting. And so that became her thing. And as a family background, like, we are a background of singers, and like, especially on my grandmother's side, like, singers, piano players, all that kind of stuff. And I had no idea, like, and I love music, never been able to play anything, but I always would sing and listen to all kinds of music. And so, I remember, I don't even know how early it was that you would be writing songs. Do you remember how early it was that you started writing songs?
It was in middle school. It started off as poems, and then it transitioned into songs.
Okay.
So it started writing
poems
heavy, and then doing band and getting into more music. I was like, let me try to write a song. And I started writing songs.
Okay, I know that she would be singing around the house, and the next thing I know, Nikki would be singing around the house, and I never heard these songs. And then next thing I know, Nikki's singing to the songs. Once I finally asked about whose song is it, I mean, what is song at? And it was actually Tootie's song that Nikki's singing. And so Tootie had found her thing. And then fast forward, we get to high school, and she's still in band and doing well, learning her craft even more. And attitude still pretty on the fence.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And I do remember by the time we got to 12th grade, the first day of school, the first thing I said before they left out the house to Tootie and Nikki, can y'all please go to school, do what y'all got to do so these folks can stop calling my house And y'all can get out of these folks' school, please. And so, sure enough, that's what I was looking forward to. But of course, we still had some calls to me, because everybody knew the twins. But I never forget that there was schools coming to the colleges coming to the schools to listen to students audition. And because of how bad your attitude was, like, nobody would tell you. You was good, but your attitude was so bad. Mm-hmm. But some kind of way you would find out that they were there and get to audition. And so I remember you getting, I think you had an offer from a school somewhere on the East Coast, was it?
It was there. And I remember Arkansas Pine Bluff. I can't remember the name of that school because I think it was the first time I ever heard of it. So I had never really just heard of the school that much until then.
Okay.
I think that's why I don't really remember that one. But I do remember it was Arkansas Pine Bluff and then Valley too. Mississippi Valley State.
Okay. So yes. So she decided to do Mississippi Valley State. And she had a full scholarship to go to Mississippi Valley State. And I was so proud because she was the first one in the family to be able to go to college. And then for free.
Yeah.
I like that was that was more important for free.
Yeah.
So and in the process of doing paperwork, it was something because I had never been to college. It was something that I didn't do in a timely manner or something. So you wasn't able to get in Valley, and the band director, I'll never forget, the band director at Valley called the band director at what was the school that you ended up going to? Mississippi Delta. And I mean, by just the picking up the phone, calling without even hearing you play anything, got you a full ride at Mississippi Delta. And when I say, oh my gosh, how good can God be? And you had a full ride at Mississippi Delta, and then you had a full ride to go to Valley once you finish at Mississippi Delta, because Mississippi Delta was a community college. And so that was amazing in itself. But at the same time, we were still dealing with the introverted Tootie. Even though you had your tribe, and I think the dorm that you were staying in was what, mainly band students?
No, it was everybody. It was just my hall. Everybody that was surrounded by was band students. They had kind of like grouped every sport with each other. So all the band students was around me.
Okay. Which that made it a little bit better, but we still had to face issues of you and the cafeteria. Good Lord Almighty. But we got through that.
You really want to talk about the cafeteria?
We got through all of that. And you stayed in school, and I thought you was enjoying yourself, and you was on a path to be a teacher. Now, I'm going to remind you, I'm going to let the audience know that you were really good in math and science. One subject definitely you were good in was math. And I remember in high school, your math teacher was also the assistant band director. And he would tell me at parent-teacher conferences that, I don't know why the other students be talking with her, because she done finished her work and done made her A's, and they don't know what they doing, but they talking to her, and I just let them talk. if they wanna fail, then they can fail. But she ain't failing. So, but when you went to college, you was on a trajectory of becoming a teacher. And I remember you was helping some of the students in the community, which if anybody knows about the Delta is rural Mississippi, and you have a lot of poor population there. And some of the students, it was, I think, an eye-opening experience for you. But the one thing that I can say just from talking with you doing that experience is because of your background of being trouble. And I can say that as a mother, as your mother, I think you were able to relate to the children and they were able to listen to you as far as from a teacher's perspective, and you was able to gain rapport with them. What do you say?
Yeah, because seeing that people were in those situations. I mean, I know our schools weren't the best and we didn't always have the best books, but seeing that these kids were expected to do something with no books and some of them still had big dreams, you know, some of them still had dreams to go to Ivy Leagues, and you're working with them and you're seeing like, man, it's motivating that they still have that dream and that thing. But then when you think about reality, you just like, they may not get there, but if they can start here, then maybe they can get there their sophomore year. They may not be there their freshman year, but maybe they can get there their sophomore year. You know, it just made you want to help, made you want to give, because I've never even seen people like that. I've never seen just that situation. People lacking so much, but still wanting so much.
Yeah. Which I'm glad that you were able to experience that, because I think as a parent, there was a lot of things, and I'm trying to open this window, sorry. There was a lot of things that I sheltered you all from, and you all didn't know, which you wasn't supposed to know, a lot of the things that you didn't have. But the one thing that I made sure of, that I always invested in, whatever you all were dreaming of at the time. And so I think just the opportunity to see a group of people who maybe their parents couldn't invest in their dreams, you know, at the time, that gave you a different perspective. And I know your attitude changed a lot during your times in the Delta. And then we get to the point of, I'm thinking you having a good time. We rolling up on, it's almost time for you to finish. And I get a call, and the call says, I'm ready to come home. And I'm like, what? I'm ready to come home. But Tootie, you on scholarship. And then I hear something that says, well, can I make my own decision? And it was something in me that said, you know what? And I think I said it exactly like this. You know what? You absolutely can. You absolutely can. And I said it with attitude. And I think the next time you you talked to me. I don't know if I gave you the conditions of you got to work, or did I tell you about working? Mm-hmm. What did I tell you?
Yep,
I told you about working.
Yeah, I had to work.
And I'm knowing if you working, then you gonna be contributing to the household, because mm-hmm. you ain't finna just come home from school that you was getting, you was gonna have full scholarship and gonna come home and think you just gonna lay up and I'm gonna pay for you. I don't know where they do that at, but absolutely not at my house. So you was gonna have to work and you was gonna have to contribute. And I think it wasn't too much longer, you and Nikki ended up getting y'all own apartment,
yeah.
And starting experiencing life, you yeah. know. So fast forwarding, I get a call saying, I think I want to go to Jackson State. So needless to say, you never did finish Mississippi Delta. You didn't go to Mississippi Valley. That forfeited your scholarship. And a couple of years later, I get a call saying, I think I want to go to Jackson State. And I said, okay, but you need to know I'm not finna sign nothing. I'm not finna put my name on no piece of paper. I'm not finna make no call. I'm not finna be involved. And because by you having that introverted personality, one thing about your personality is you would allow others to do for you what you're supposed to be doing for yourself. So is that not true?
That's true.
So you take it from there. What happened when you attempted to get into Jackson State? Because I felt like it was actually a miracle of a second chance of you even getting into Jackson State.
It was. Because when I did go to Jackson State, I wanted to start everything over, because in the Delta, I did graduate for construction, because my first year I did the construction thing. So I did graduate with construction. But when I went back for school my second year for actual classes, and that's what I didn't graduate. So when I came back and I was ready to go back to Jackson State, I was like, well, you know what? I'm just going to start over, fresh start. I'm not going to get nothing from Mississippi Delta. I'm just going to go from my high school stuff. And my high school stuff, I needed to do more to qualify for Jackson State. So I had to take the whole ACT thing again, and I was not ready for that at all. Hadn't okay. studied. All I'm thinking about, I'm finna go to class. Not I'm finna sit up here and take this test, and they got me. But I showed up for the test day, nervous and all, and I passed with enough to get in school. Mm-hmm. And started Jackson State, and I was so happy, didn't know what to do, but I started. And I was doing good. I was passing my classes, was doing everything, and I don't know what happened. I think I was ready to leave and come to Austin. I think that's when I left and came to Texas. And you was like, well, how you gonna use in school? I was like, yeah, but this program, they'll help me. Because out of nowhere, I just wanted to up and leave. I didn't want to be in Mississippi no more. I didn't want to be there. I didn't know why, but I did know why. I felt like some of the suffering that I was doing in Mississippi, where I knew a lot of people, if I could suffer here and I know people, I could suffer somewhere where I don't know people, because it's no different. And it's not, it wasn't necessarily suffering because of my own decisions, is what I'm noticing now. It wasn't because of somebody else putting me in situations or whatever. It was suffering because of my own decisions, and I didn't know that at the time. So fast forward, came to Texas, did the program, and got in the program, and did good with the program, and was just like, I need more money. I can't. Texas calls for more money. I was the program was only a stipend, which didn't cover rent, and it barely covered rent. I'm gonna say that because it did cover rent, but it was a few dollars short. But with all of the other bills mm-hmm. and all of the other expenses, I started other jobs, side jobs, and I got into the warehouse, and then I broke off into the warehouse, and that's when everything started changing. Curiosity kills the cat, they say, but in this case, curiosity just gave the cat more lives. I don't know. It extended that life, not gave me more lives. It extended that life that I was in, so I didn't even have to feel like I lost a life or anything. It just extended that life because I was able to see more than I was. Got in there for shipping and receiving, bottom level stuff, and then you walk around the warehouse and you see, oh, what are they doing? Look like they get paid more. Oh, let me go look up their position. I just started going through different jobs, looking at different positions and applying. And then I was like, got this one job where it was different for me. It was a startup. And I was basically working with the engineers. I was the only person in the clean room because I worked in clean room environments. And we were making lights. And I was like,
now explain to us what a clean room environment, what a clean room is for those of us who do not know
okay.
what a clean room is.
A clean room is basically an environment that's up to certain specs. So there's no particles allowed to float in the room. So each clean okay. room have certain levels of classification to where, okay, this one may only allow 50 particles. Is that clean? Or this one is cleaner and literally no particles can float around. So you would be masked up, have on the whole bunny suit, your mask, the suit coming over your head with your gloves and everything like okay. that. So it's just to prevent particles and everything from getting on the product that you're working on. Because
so a sterile,
exactly,
like a sterile environment. Okay.
Environment. Yes, gotcha. Exactly.
Okay.
So I'm in this environment and I'm doing this job and I'm like, man, I'm getting to the point where I'm doing the actual engineer's work and I'm able to solve these problems. And I'm just like, I can do this. I can do this on more than an operator level. I can do this on his level. And I doubted myself at first. It took a while for me. Mm-hmm. It took at least a year for me to just say, no, you're going to do this. And I was going back and forth myself. And then when I finally came to the decision that I'm going to do this, it was when I went to that job. I went to the guy for a raise. It was my evaluation time. And I had learned mm-hmm. the room in and out. I knew how to do everything in the room, everything they asked me for. And he had only offered me a 75-cent raise because I didn't have a degree. Mm. And he said, without that, there's nothing more that they could do for me.
Mm.
And I said, after that, I was like, I know that there's somebody that could see my worth without a degree. But I'm going to get that degree for when I do have to cross paths again with people like him. I'm going to get that degree for them. But I know that I can do this work without it, but I will get it to validate for people like him. And
wow,
I called you.
Wow.
And I said, Ma.
Man, and I'm telling you.
I said, I'm going to school, Ma. I'm going back. I'm going back. I don't know how, but I'm going back.
The one thing that was different about this call than all the other calls is because I know when you stop going to school after high school, when you stop going to college after high school, and I'm knowing how smart you are, book smart, because you have different people who have different levels of skills. And so some people are just good from a, can you hear me? You can't hear me? Okay, it looks like we're having some technical difficulties. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. I can hear you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Okay, try now. Okay, now I can hear you. Now I can hear you. It connected to my headphone.
All right.
I don't even know where my headphone is, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, okay. Okay. So the one thing that's different about this call than the other calls is because me being your mom, like I know how intellectually smart you are, and you have that ability to, like, some kids, it's unacceptable for you not to go to school. And you was one of those kids, like, it's just unacceptable for you not to go to school. Because the level of intelligence that you have, it is for school. Whatever that thing is that you are going to do, it's for school. For a child to be just naturally gifted in math and problem solving, science, like whatever that thing is that you're supposed to be doing, like you gotta go to school to enhance it. And so it was really disappointing when you did not want to go to finish school. It was really disappointing when you didn't want to finish, you know, the trajectory that was paid for, that was paved for you by another talent of yours. And I'm like, we even explored you doing your music because you were really good at writing and music. And I remember us going to talk to somebody about you writing for different people and this, that, and the other before going to college. And they were saying, well, yeah, she can forego college and go to Atlanta and do this. And I'm like, nah, we ain't foregoing college to go to Atlanta and do that life, that musician's life. No, 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 no. But then they also did say is if you have a degree, the music industry wouldn't rob her like they would without a degree, because she would know her worth. And so that's when we decided, like, we going to college. So, and when you decided to come home and made so many attempts to do school, and for whatever reason, your own reasons, you stopped, start and stop. Like, as a parent, I'm like, all I could do was like pray, because, you know, you have to allow your children to make their own decisions. And for you, I know one thing about you is, which I was extremely shocked that you went to. First of all, I was extremely shocked that you went to college hours away from home, because you was that child who would not go away from home. That was number one. And then when you called and said you moving to Austin, and when you called, you had already researched everything. You had already had a plan.
Yep, I'm just it was letting more y'all about, know that it's done.
I think you had already had your date that you was moving and everything. So, Right. So, you know, it was, you had already done all of this. And I'm like, Austin, that's 9 hours away. Like, I couldn't believe that you was going that far. And I'm like, well, Tootie, you know, you're going to have to open your mouth and talk to people now, because and ask what you need and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other. And but slowly but surely, like, I saw your personality blossoming. And you even done some things in the music industry since you've been in Austin, which I was very elated and shocked by. But like knowing, hearing you and your experiences on these different jobs, and I'm knowing, and not just because you my child, but I mean, you could have been anybody's child having a conversation with me. And as you know, like just from living in the house with me and me mentoring other folks, like I talk to them the same as I talk to y'all, with the encouragement and trying to get them to be the best that they can actually be. And like I'm sitting here listening to my child, who I know is gifted in certain areas, and she working in these low paying jobs, and I know her worth is more, and I want her to see that her worth is more, but she got to go on this path to do it. But I can't do it for her. Like, as a parent, that does something to you, but you just got to wait on the sideline, and you just got to pray, keep praying, yeah, that you will be able to see the turn of the events happening. And when you call to say, Mama, I'm going to school for engineering, I was like, praise God. The turn of events has happened. I am here to see it. And just the idea that, I mean, you came to the conclusion of, I'm doing the engineer's work, but I'm not getting the engineer's pay. And just your curiosity and your the way your brain works, and how you want to see the whole operation. You know, I think that's one of the parts that from a different aspect, you get from me. I think your daddy has that too, but want to see how the whole thing works, like, so that you'll know, right? You got to see how on every level how it works.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's nosy, but it helps you be a better business person. So and not only that, like, you not thinking on just that lower level. Like, yeah, when you start thinking about how the whole thing works, that's CEO mindset right there. Right. So that right there made me so proud. And then we get to the journey of the engineering. And in the journey of engineering, you have had some shakeups. And doing these shakeups, it has reminded me of my journey when I went to school, and just to be able to sit back and watch it has been, oh my God, from an external view. From an internal view, I mean, it was like I was living an out-of-body experience. But to see you going through the same thing, and some of those same things are...
Yeah.
You get fired from a job for no reason. And
yes,
the job that you land is a dream come true.
In the transition, I get,
and you
assistance
get
to where in the transition from one job to the next, because it wasn't like a smooth transition. I was fired, so there was downtime. There was time looking for a job, making sure that I picked the right job, because I am in school, and I knew that this time I wasn't gonna stop school. I wasn't gonna let anything let me stop school. So the money or anything like that wasn't my goal, because I know my goal was to eventually make that money. And once I get that degree, I will have that money. So I knew I needed to just get through school. And the process of trying to find a job was rough. I applied for jobs that I knew I didn't qualify for. I applied for jobs that I didn't even, like, I, for some reason, nothing that I applied for, I thought I would get a call for. And I got a call for just about everything I applied for. And although some of the interviews didn't go my way, it was just an eye-opener for me. And it was to let me know, because in those interviews, those people were like, well, you know what? In maybe 2 years, you come back. It lets me know that I was in the right rooms. I was in the right rooms. It probably wasn't my time to be in that room yet, but I was in the right rooms. So when it came down to the one that I got now, after all of those no's, and it was a reason I was hearing those no's, because I have a tendency of always thinking negative. So all of those no's, I was like, you know what? Right. Yes. And when I overthink, I'm like, oh my goodness, now I'm going to be homeless. I'm out there on the street. I'm in my car. I don't have nowhere to go. It's just, my brain just gets to working, just gets to churning. So I got the call that I got the job. And I was like, man, but they don't want to start me until after the holidays. I got to pay rent. So in the holidays at this time was Thanksgiving. So I was like, man, you know what? I'm just going to try to, they have these different programs that help people pay their rent if they can't pay. And I was like, they're not going to help me. I'm always usually like, these places won't help. I don't have a child. I don't qualify. They're not going to help. This time I said, you know what? I'm just going to apply. I don't care. I'm just going to apply.
Right.
Didn't think too much on it. And I got a call to be up there for an interview the day before I start working my new job. I start working on a Tuesday, and that Friday, I got a call from this lady with the address telling me to meet her up there on Monday. That wasn't nobody but God. And then to get in that room, I didn't have much hope in the room anyway. And to leave there with guaranteed yeses, it was signs, that little signs that I'm on the right path. Yeses. Because nothing has ever panned out this easy. And not to say it was easy, because it wasn't easy, because getting myself to not overthink, getting myself to be patient, getting myself to trust the process, understand the process, and understand that it's not gonna look good all the time.
Right, right.
And that's a process within itself. So getting myself to understand of these things wasn't easy, but the outcome was, let me know that I'm walking on the right path. Because when stuff comes like that, to be able to take care of this to where you can, okay, now I can sit back and I can wait to start that job. I can wait for the start date. Yeah, I got to do other stuff to get other bills paid and things like that, but found the job, found the little ship job for that with delivering packages. Perfect. Why is everything working out so perfect? It's tough, but it's also perfect. And that's when I realized that my timing and my decisions were not the best. But now everything is going how it's supposed to. Everything is going how it's supposed to. Everything is making room for where I'm trying to go. And not to say that pathway wasn't paved before with the free process, but I didn't see it then. I didn't appreciate it then. I didn't even know what to appreciate. So all of the experiences that led me to this moment, that led me where I am, definitely taught me how to appreciate the journey and how to get the most out of the journey while still being along the journey, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That makes sense. I'm just so happy that I can go along for the journey. You know, even though I wasn't the happiest participant on the other journeys,
you was a participant.
But because I was your mama, I was on the ride. But I was on the, trust me, I was at the caboose of the train because I was like, "Can somebody please let me off? Please let me off." But you never would let me off because you always continue to call, "Mama, Mama." But I think like little things along the way that I would do is to try to help with you getting to this point is one of the biggest things definitely was
not
for you
for me. Yep.
Was figure it out. You got to figure it out. Exactly. Exactly. And I think, you know, with each one of you, you know, and it's four of you, which each one of you needed something different. And I just thank God that to the best of my ability, I felt that I provided that thing that you needed. And, you know, whatever I didn't provide, I think I have apologized for that. But I did what I knew how at the time that I knew how. And as I learned, I think I continue to provide. So when people say, "Oh, well, your children are grown." Yeah, even though they grown, like, as long as you're here, they still need you. I know I'm grown and my mom is still here and I still need her, you know, and I still call her and ask her for different things. So, and I appreciate the fact that she's still here for me to be able to call her. You know, parents and children's relationship, it should evolve over time.
We have definitely evolved
to different levels. And I think we have evolved to a different level.
Definitely evolved. Evolved is us.
Thank God. And now I'm even able to see some of your behavior.
Never
guessed. Oh my God, it's
because y'all kept saying,
"I don't
know who you act like."
Never wanted to admit to.
And I act like both of you.
I don't know who you act. I never wanted to admit none of that. But definitely your children have traits of you and then is amplified. And so I will say traits of me amplified was Tootie. And I remember going back before I left Mississippi when y'all had, by this time y'all was adults. And one of my friends worked at the middle school that y'all went to. And I went to the middle school to see her, and some of the teachers that was there when y'all was there was still there, and they recognized me. They was like, "Ain't you twin mama?" I was like, "Oh Lord," because trust me, anytime somebody say twin mama, I'm doing like this. But the only thing I can say, you know what, it got better. They are adults now. They are so much better. They have come into their own. They was like, "Oh, thank goodness." Because when I say, "Oh my goodness," everybody knew the twins. Everybody knew the twins. And everybody knew the twins for different reasons. They knew Tootie for the attitude and Nikki for her mouth. So, and I think now I knew Nikki got the mouth from me. But now I can admit that Tootie got the some of the attitude from me as well. So
this is a first.
I'll let you off the hook, Tootie.
I'm gonna need this little snippet.
So I want to, the reason I wanted to invite you on here as a guest is because, as you know, this podcast highlights gifts of second chances. And if this is not a highlight of a second chance, to be able to explore the life that you were meant to live, like, I'm excited to see where this is going. And I know you're excited to see where this is going, because every time we talk about it, I can hear the excitement in your voice. And just even in the process, you're excited. And I don't think I've seen this level of excitement before from you in a process. And so, and even just to know that, you know, it is starting here, but we don't know where it may end up at, you know, because now you're in Austin, and who's to say you're going to stay in Austin once you become that engineer? Are you going to take your engineer and, you know, go somewhere else? Are you going to be training? Because you still have that teaching ability. And I think one thing that you have learned through some of this process, and you still are being, you still have work to do. You still have work, you know, a lot more work to go, but you have that ability to be able to break stuff down in teaching. And so we don't know where the teaching plus the engineering is going to lead you. You know, and just the idea of how your mind works, we don't know where it's going to lead you. But hopefully I will be a witness of the process, and I'm excited, and I can't wait to invite you back to the podcast for the next phase of the process.
I'm excited for the process too.
And see where what
think,
we got.
Like you said, I've never been as excited on a journey, so this is new to me, but it's definitely real, you know. So it doesn't seem fake. It doesn't seem all those stuff is happening. That's surreal. It doesn't seem fake. So I'm definitely excited with this process. I'm excited to be a guest on your podcast, because congratulations to you on your podcast. I'm excited to have the second chance, because told myself this time that I will use it as if this is the last chance, because I mean, you don't always get second chances. So I have to make the best of it this time. I have to finish it. So this is the finish.
Right.
Yep.
It's all about finishing it.
Yep.
This is the finish. Right. This is definitely the finishing.
So I'll be glad to come back for an update when I'm finishing my high rise condo overlooking the city. Woo-hoo! Feeding birds at my window.
What city? We don't know. I'm excited to hear that. So, well, if there are no second thoughts, do you have any second thoughts?
Experience. I enjoyed the time, and yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for coming, and join us for another episode of Second Chances,
later.
The Gifts of a Second Chance. And we will see you soon. All right. Later.